If we look this evening, we'll look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14, and we have one verse, verse 10, Proverbs 14, 10. I'll read it, and we'll begin with prayer. Proverbs 14, 10 says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." Father, we come now. We thank you for another day of life. We're so thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his great mercy and grace in taking our place on the cross for us. And we're just so thankful for the great victory that he's had over death and that we too can have through faith and repentance. I pray that your word will go forth tonight and quicken each of us in our hearts and our lives. Pray that your Spirit will teach each of us from your word. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So the title tonight is The Heart's Limit and the Heart's Fullness. And so what we find in this short little proverb is a truism about the heart of man. And so it's not a positive or a negative statement about our heart, but it's just a truism. And that is that every heart has its limit of being known by others. Every heart has a ceiling that no person can completely reach, whether that's in bitterness or in joy. And so God created the heart of man to express itself and to be known by others. However, he placed a limit on the heart being able to express itself and the heart being able to be fully understood by others. And so we see that here in this passage. And so you see right off the bat, you see bitterness and joy. And bitterness is private. Joy is private. And the point of the proverb, the short point of it here, is neither bitterness or joy can be fully transferred or explained to another. And so I can tell you my bitterness of my heart, or I can share the joy of my heart, but it's never going to land 100% and be fully appreciated by another. And so we're just looking at it from a truism statement at this point, not in a positive, not in a negative. And the takeaway here is not to to have a pity party of nobody will ever know me and go into an Eeyore state. That's not where we're going with this passage. And so what you see, though, is every heart has a longing to be known by others and to be known by God. The ache or the groan to share a grief or a joy in perfect harmony with another. So that's the essence of our relationships. I want to be able to share the deep grief and the great joys of my heart with somebody, and we can walk hand in hand and have fellowship over that. However, this verse tells us there's a limit to that we can do with other humans apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship in him. Next, every heart has been made to be known, satisfied, and fulfilled ultimately in fellowship in Christ. And so the Lord, he leaves this, he's created our hearts with a gap. No one person can fill the gap in our heart. Our spouse can come close, but he always leaves room in there where the heart can't fully be known. And that is reserved for the triune Godhead and fellowship with the triune Godhead through Jesus Christ. And so we see the individuality of each person's heart. Every heart is an entire world. So we're not, we're not the Ford Motor Company. We're not all just different trim levels of the same car. We are image bearers. There's a tremendous sanctity to every person's heart, every person's soul. And that's the awesomeness of God, that he wants to have fellowship with every person's heart at an intimate level. We don't live in a world that even comprehends that type of love and or engagement with other people. We look at people, you see how mankind looks at mankind. We have the generation now that says, don't have children, you're overpopulating the earth. You have this mentality that people are just advanced mammals. They're not image bearers, but we see the converse here from the Lord. As well, the verse here, it shows the impossibility of saying, I know exactly how you feel. Now, we're not going to be word police here. However, we can say, I can understand you quite a bit, but not fully. And so this verse draws that limit. And so this is, you know, when we think about music, this is why we like music. You know, different artists can put words and music to the thoughts of our heart. And you can hear a song and an artist expressing whether it's great joy or nostalgia or pain or suffering. They can put it to words and you say, wow, he's explaining something that I've felt but I've never been able to articulate. And so we come to our passage. It says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And so we're looking at the limited heart. And the short interpretation, once again, is no one can know perfectly the inner anguish or the great joy of a person's heart. This is the short interpretation of this verse. And so the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Now, behind the word own is the word nephesh or soul. And so the heart knows his own soul's bitterness. Now, the point here is, only our heart knows the depths of our heart. That's the simple statement there. The heart alone knows the bitterness and grief of the soul. The heart knows. And this is in contrast to the next line. This is in contrast to the stranger. Now, the Hebrew word there for stranger is simply an outsider. So there's only one person in your heart, and that's you, your spirit. Anybody outside of your heart is a stranger to your heart, actually. So you can be married to somebody, but not share your heart with them. You might have a covenant bond, but they can still be a stranger to your heart. And so, once again, this is not necessarily a positive or negative at this point. It's just a truism. The heart knows the depths of its own bitterness. However, the heart, as we've talked about, it deceives and obscures. So oftentimes we say, I don't know what's going on with me, or I don't know why I'm feeling like this. And so our heart has, it's generating feelings and emotions, and we're not able to even pinpoint that. Now, the bitterness of the soul is private, and it's limited in its transferability. So we just think of some examples of this. The grief over loss, it extends beyond the limited condolences of friends. The unchanging circumstance that grinds our spirit. Others might sympathize with us, but they get to go home and you continue to carry that burden. Caring for a loved one for years, it's a sick individual, that service goes unnoticed, the burden seems yours alone to carry. And so these are examples of where I'm carrying something, the heart is carrying something. Others can appreciate and sympathize, but they'll never understand the fullness of that grief or bitterness. If we look over in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if we remember Hannah and her husband Elkanah, and Hannah here, she's weeping, she refuses to eat because she's barren. He wants a child, if we recall. And you see in verse 8, it says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And so here you have a simple example. You have a married couple on different pages. She's weeping over the barrenness, and he's completely on a different planet. What's going on? Aren't I better than 10 sons? And so I think there's, you can see an example of this here. Likewise, we remember Job and his friends. After Job lost his children and the calamity came. He had good friends in his life. They sat in silence with him for 7 days. And then it was all downhill from there. They then became miserable counselors, as he called them, as they began to, well, Job, maybe if you didn't do this, this, and this in your life, such and such calamity wouldn't have happened. And so we're seeing this example of being on the different page where the heart is limited and transferring its bitterness, its grief, or its joy. And so the heart alone knows. However, as we indicated, we don't always understand why we groan. Now, if we look over at Romans 8, where we can't always put words, we can't always articulate. And Romans 8 is just talking about all creation is growing because of the curse of sin. Believers are groaning because we're sick of the curse of sin and we are longing to be with Christ. And so God's given us the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so the heart itself knows its own bitterness, but the heart is limited in being able to utter that. And thankfully for believers, we have the Holy Spirit that can utter those groanings on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is covering our blind spot in prayer for the groans that we have that we can't articulate with words. So we look at the next phrase there in Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And the second phrase is, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. So you have two contrasting elements here. You have the heart that does know, but the stranger, the outsider, the person outside of your own heart, they do not intermeddle or mix with his joy. And so it's saying the same thing, but it's saying it in regards to grief. Only your heart knows your grief, but you're having a great time, you want to share some great news, and I can go share it with a stranger, an outsider, but they can't fully mix with it. They can appreciate it, they can be happy, but they're never going to feel the pure joy that I am feeling over it. They can be happy that you're so joyful, but they'll never fully appreciate it. And so the truism, again, once here, is our hearts are limited in how they transfer and exchange these feelings and this fellowship. And that's because God's created our hearts with a little gap that can only be satisfied through Christ and the fellowship, the koinonia, that we'll look at with the triune Godhead. If you look at Luke chapter 2 from a positive example here in the joy, Luke chapter 2, this is Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ being born. Luke 2, verse 19. If you look at verse 18. The baby's lying in the manger. She gave birth to the Messiah. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And so you have this scene. The shepherds are ecstatic, and Mary no doubt is ecstatic and thrilled as well. But she's pondering. She's considering. She's considering the weight of what just happened. No doubt all of them are, but you have the point trying to be made here is you can have two people in the same experience, the same circumstance, and they can have vastly different responses. And again, this is the heart's limitation in being able to transfer and understand whether it's bitterness or joy. And so one of the key elements that you can pull from Proverbs 14:10 is that of loneliness. Loneliness drives the heart to longing for fellowship. And So this verse is telling us, hey, the heart is limited, but there is a place for fellowship. There is a place where you don't have to be alone. And so what we see, though, is loneliness drives the heart to long for fellowship. The private and untransferable nature of the heart leads to loneliness. I can't articulate something I'm sad about or something I'm joyful about. I wish I had somebody I could tell this to. This is usually how relationships start. And so we consider some of these things. Lonely hearts long for limited fellowship. And so we have marriage, we have friends, we have family. And they can all operate within this passage. They can say, I do not fully understand what you are carrying, but I am not leaving. That's a good spouse, that's a good friend, that's a good family member operating within this. If we look at Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And so our hearts are able to have fellowship with friends and family in positive forms. And so in essence, this verse is saying a true friend will always stand with you, and a brother, family, born for adversity. So the revelation of who your true friends are usually is in adversity. Likewise with family, despite tensions and drama, true friends and family do rush back to your side and can have that fellowship. And so we're not trying to say from Proverbs 14:10 there's no place for fellowship. But what we are saying is that fellowship is limited, and that limited fellowship is ultimately because our true fellowship is to be with Christ. Now we know in Genesis 2:18 it says it's not good that man should be alone. And the Lord gave Eve to Adam, and you have the picture of marriage. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 talks about two are better than one. However, a three-fold cord is can't be broken. And so you have these principles there. However, the heart and all its limitations in being known, God created it with a vacancy that can only be filled by Christ. And so if we look at the triune Godhead and how it can fully know the heart, we look at Psalm 139. A familiar passage. God the Father, He knows the heart fully. He knows the deepest griefs. He knows the nuances of it. He knows the greatest joys. He knows the desires. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. And so the limitations of the heart with itself and with others is fulfilled in a relationship with the triune Godhead, the God of heaven and earth that fully knows us and has created us in His image for a purpose. And so we see it here with God the Father. If we look over in Hebrews 4, again, a very familiar passage, but Hebrews 4, we also share our heart and that vacancy with the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows our heart through experience. Christ experienced the things that we experience. And so that makes Him the perfect high priest. And so we know this verse, and hopefully it's a verse that we live in and out daily. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He is always the standard for how you handle the deepest grief or the greatest joy, because He was tempted in those points, and He never sinned. he's always that standard where to look to. I got a circumstance. I got a situation here. I'm inclined to respond in the flesh, but what did Christ do? How did he respond? He knows exactly how I feel here. How did he respond? And so we have him as our perfect high priest. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we see God the Father knows our heart fully. Jesus Christ has experienced what our heart experiences fully. And oh, by the way, he had victory over it. And then we already looked at Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit knows the heart inside and out and intercedes for what we don't perceive. And so sometimes we say, I don't know why, or I cannot explain what's going on. But this is the Spirit doing from the inside, the believer, precisely what Proverbs is saying. He enters the depth of sorrow too deep, the greatest joys for the sufferers who can't articulate those words. And so we see this with the triune Godhead. Now, as we finish, we look over at 1 John. And ultimately, God, he created our hearts limited in transferring bitterness and joy to others, because it can only be done through fellowship with Christ and then with fellowship with believers who are also in Christ. And so 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, 1 John 1, verse 3 says, that which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Greek word behind fellowship is koinonia. And this is the greatest longing that we can have. We don't like to be alone. God made us to be in fellowship with him and to be in fellowship with others. However, sin, what does sin do? Does sin bring people together? No, sin divides. Sin drives that loneliness. And then the wretchedness, the wickedness of the heart says, I'm going to isolate here and not diverge out. However, Christ, he calls us and he says that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. And that fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see in verse 7 there, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And so the greatest fellowship that your heart can ever experience is that with peace with God through Jesus Christ, and then peace with others who were in Christ, who are walking in the light. You see that in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, this is the obedient life. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we see this need for fellowship with Christ and fellowship with others who are walking in obedience in unity with Christ. And lastly, if we look over at John chapter 15, our heart is made to have fellowship with the Father through Christ and fellowship with other Christians. And ultimately that's maintained that gap, that vacancy in the heart that can't be expressed only with the triune Godhead. That's through abiding in Christ. And we see that in John 15:5. We're all familiar with this. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And so you see the contrast here. You're either abiding in Christ, or you're withering on the ground, and loneliness ultimately to be cast into greater judgment here. And so what does it mean to be abiding in Christ? Well, it's abiding in all the promises and the blessings that we have through Christ Jesus that Paul lists out all throughout the New Testament. Considering some of them, we consider the adoption into sonship. We're known as a father knows his child. We can abide in Christ through obedience to his word, through resting in his promises in those elements. I have a heavenly father that knows my heart. And what did Paul say in Romans 8? I can cry out and say, Abba, Father. We have access to his presence 24/7. We have the shared suffering with Christ. He knows exactly how we feel and he conquered it. Hebrews 13:5 says he's a friend that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so as we conclude, we had one verse tonight, Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. And so no stranger can fully enter into the deepest chambers of a heart, but the Godhead can. Fellowship with the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we can have all joy. We can count it all joy as we navigate the various trials and temptations and challenges of this life. As well, ultimately, we learned about fellowship. Fellowship is that deep relationship. It's going over to your favorite person's house or eating with your favorite person and just enjoying a meal and enjoying the conversation that can never end. That's what we have with Christ 24/7. However, we know, right, the only reason we're looking back on those times, those great meals, is because they don't last forever. We don't get them continually. We get to look forward to them. However, we have 24/7 fellowship with the Lord in that way. That we can commune in the bitterness and the joy of our heart with him and actually rest as we're reading and learning from his word and then obeying his word in faith. We're having this fellowship, and that's how we abide with him. Our Father, we come now, we're just thankful for this time and your word. We're so thankful for the fellowship that we can have with you, the relationship with you where we can share what's in our hearts and that you can develop our hearts into the mind of Christ through your word. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.